I'm joined with
Ross
and
Lily,
and we're here until 4 o'clock. And also, we've had the pleasure of having Eileen back in the studio with us. You were here talking to us, I think, some point earlier last year, or maybe was it earlier this year? I think it might have been earlier this year.
Yeah, we came in and chatted with you about Zoe's Law and how we were getting on with that.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it'd be nice to invite you back in. Just obviously since I last seen you, especially the progress with Parliament and everything that's gone on up there. I know that you were lucky enough to be out of the country for a little bit and you had to come back in to do it and then go back out, which must have been quite a kind of story in itself, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to get you in since then, so obviously you're back now for a bit, and yeah, it's lovely to sit and chat and have a little bit of a catch up really about everything that's gone on. So just a little recap. Obviously Zoe's Law, it's a great cause, it's great what you're doing there, and obviously it's the real focus on making sure the right checks are being done to make sure that obviously skin tag removal and everything as well to make sure there's no melanoma and so forth, and obviously actually testing for these things. So tell us a little bit about how things are going with the progress with Parliament and what it was like to really go up there.
It was absolutely amazing to go up there, and it was thanks to Richard Quigley as well, because he was in Parliament talking, and Ben Goldsborough, who's the MP for Norfolk, he had a mole and he saw, obviously, like with Zoe's, seen something about like Zoe's Law and what was that, looked it up, and then he went and got his mole tested, and he's stage 2 melanoma cancer.
Oh, wow.
So he kind of joined with Richard to say, right, I'll help you with the family to promote this. And so we got invited up to Parliament. And I was away on holiday at the time. So I obviously flew back with my son Charlie. We flew back the night before, went into Parliament the following morning. We sat up in the balcony where they had Prime Minister's question time, and Bob Goldsborough brought up about Zoe's Law and that we wanted to make it law that all moles that were removed are tested and not just binned. And he asked the Prime Minister, you know, can they put this through? Everyone, Parliament that morning was full, but the question time it was full, and everyone... Where I was kind of thinking they're just going to say, oh, yeah, well, whatever, you know, not important. They didn't. They were all saying, oh, yeah, definitely. They were all interested in it. And they asked if we could speak to the health minister. And the Prime Minister said, yeah. He looked up to the balcony to us, me and Charlie, and said, are you here for the day? And we were like, yeah, we'll be here. And he said, right, you meet the health minister this afternoon.
Wow, that's good progress.
Yeah, and we did. We went 4:30. We went up to meet the health minister. Obviously, Richard Quigley was there as well. Ben Goldsborough was there. She had her PAs there with her. And not only that, she'd called in head of NHS England, head of pathology and head of oncology. She'd called them over, and that they'd come over and sat with us that afternoon as well. Yeah. And obviously said to me, tell me about Zoe. So we did.
Yeah.
And
for just very quickly, for people that may not be aware of what Zoe's Law is, and hope you don't mind us touching on it, because obviously it's a very sensitive subject. And again, you were saying earlier how people ask how you managed to keep so positive and so happy, and it's really, really inspiring the way that you deal with it, and it's you're a phenomenal woman, phenomenal. Yeah. But yeah, if you wouldn't mind, obviously tell us a little bit about what happened, obviously how this has all originated with Zoe's passing, bless her, and obviously the reasons why Zoe's Law is about.
Yeah, well, about 5 years before she died, she had a mole on her back, just below her trouser line, below her knicker lines. She didn't use sunbeds, and she didn't really ever sit in the sun and sunbathe, you know, and it wasn't, so it wasn't a mole that was in the sun. But about 5 years before, it went really bobbly and crusty, and it kept bleeding. So she went and had it looked at by the GP, because I said to go to the GPs and get it tested and looked at. And they looked at it and just said, oh, it's a skin tag. Don't worry about it, it's a skin tag. So she didn't. And we didn't, to be fair, you don't hear much about melanoma in this country like you do maybe in Australia where it is sunny all the time. So we didn't really think anything of it. And it was just, if you've got a mole or something, you'd that you're not happy with, you just got it removed and that was it. So
you
we didn't
find it's played down a little bit more in this country.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So then 3 years before she died, again, it was really bothering her. She went back. It's all been documented on the doctor's records. They looked at it again. The doctor then, exactly the same thing, said, it's just a tag. I've already told you this.
Mm.
That's fine. Then she went 2 years before she died again and mentioned it again. She went for something else, but she mentioned that. And this time the doctor said to her, I think you're a stressed young mother. You're trying to juggle work, your children and your mortgage. And I think you need antidepressants and things like that. And sleeping tablets because you're depressed. So she came and told me and I was like, you're not taking them.
Yeah.
And then I think the following week she had an appointment with one of her little boys. And so I said, I'm coming with you. And while I was there, I said to the doctor, right, can you look at that mole? Because that can't be normal. And they said, well, it's just rubbing on her jeans and that. So she did look at it. And she said, well, if you're that worried about it, go and get it removed. And I said, but don't you do that here? And they said, no, we don't have the funding to do that. Go to a beautician. So I researched some beauticians and found one that had been a GP and then took over a clinic. Mm. So we went there and we thought, cut it off. But what it turns out she'd almost shaved it off. And because I can remember seeing her stood at the bottom of the bed with a little pot holding the mole saying, oh, I'll get that tested. But she didn't. She threw it away. And because I think we didn't know, didn't hear anything saying there's something wrong with that. Just thought everything was okay.
Yeah, yeah. Thought that it was just removed. Yeah, it was done.
Yeah, it was done. It was cut off.
Yeah.
So then start of lockdown, first week of lockdown, Zoe went into work because she was a radiographer assistant at the hospital. Went into work in the morning, on the Friday morning, and she phoned me from the car park crying, saying, I'm so much pain, Mum. I'm really in a lot of pain. And I said to her, well, where are you? And she was at the car park at the hospital. And I said, well, you're going into work. You've been scanning COVID patients, so go and get tested.
Mm.
So she did, and she didn't have COVID. So they said you might have caught a sickness bug off the kids. So she went home, and I was obviously still saying, you're right. She goes, yeah. She goes, well, it might be because I was trying to teach the boys forward rolls last night. I might have pulled muscles or something. Then about 11:30 that night, she called me, absolutely screaming in pain.
Mm.
And I took her up to casualty. They wouldn't let me in of lockdown. She went in and it was her team that scanned her, and I spoke to her all night on the phone, and she said, oh, she knew then because she knew, so her job as well, but she just said to me, what if I've got cancer? And I was like, Zoe, they can cure that. Whatever it costs, whatever happens, you'll be fine. They can cure it. And then the next day they did the full body scan, and she called me and she was upset, and she said, my boss is crying. So they came out to the car park and spoke to me and just said, so his liver's full of cancer.
And that's when we knew it was terminal at that point.
Well, then that was on the Saturday. And then they said on the Monday they were going to do the lymph nodes. And they did that and they came back. And because I said, oh, well, you can cure liver cancer because I'd looked everything up like you do. And he said, if it's primary, we can. And then on the Monday she had the lymph nodes done. And I think on the Thursday they said, it's melanoma. And if you have got a mole on your body, Zoe, so she showed them where that was. They sent her straight to the Lighthouse Clinic, who were fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a massive, great big wound on her back where they cut out. And they were absolutely horrified about the story they heard, how it had just been shaved off. They sent her to the mainland to have immune therapy. They'd even flown Dr. Yeo down to see her. And I remember walking in there and they just said it's stage 4 terminal. And they started immune therapy. And I was saying to Zoe, but they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't give you the treatment, which costs £78,000.
Yeah.
If they were, if they had no hope. So, no, we're going to look at it as year by year. And then it was too late. And then 55 days later, she died.
So this is really what you're kind of, obviously, that's really heartbreaking. And the way you deliver it, obviously, it's, you know, I'm so proud of you because you're keeping happy, obviously, keeping well-spirited, let's put it that way. But obviously, this has led on to everything you're doing with Zoe's Law.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, it's sad you can't undo what's already done, but it's great to see that you're going forward and trying to do what you can to help others that may come across this same situation in the future. And obviously, you said, you know, you sat down with the health minister. You know, how did that go? How was that to sit down and actually discuss all of this and put all of the information up to see how they reacted? How did they react? Was it positive?
They were very positive. They were very moved as well when they listened to the story. and really positive and really, really supportive. And they all agreed, you know, that they did say, you know, like, we've looked at everything on Zoe's Law you started and everything that you've done. And then obviously then Charlie went climbing mountains to raise, obviously, as well,
we'll come
donations
to that very quickly
for the
in a second, actually.
Yeah, but it was just everything there. And I showed them on my phone the amount of letters and emails and messages I get from all over the world.
All the support you
that
get.
Say, thank you, we went and looked, had our mole checked, we're okay. Some people aren't still here who said thank you for raising awareness, but...
So in the meantime, what would you do to recommend if someone does find a mole or a skin tag or...
I would say definitely go and get it checked. I know, I mean, I know the Lighthouse Clinic, you have to have a referral from a doctor, but I would say you need to insist with the doctors, because I had to do it for somebody at work recently who had some issues, and he was only 18, and he just said to me, I can't get an appointment. Every time I go, I just see a nurse, and they just tell me not to worry, no, everything's all right. So... him and his mum said, can you call the doctor surgery for us? So I did. And I said, I think he needs to see a doctor and you need to refer him. And then they were being a little bit obstructive with me. So I just said, Ryan, can I just say one thing to you? And they went, what? And I went, Zoe's Law. So she went a bit quiet. And I went, yeah, that's my daughter who was young and no one listened to her. I said, can you please make him an appointment? Because I am actually genuinely worried about him after knowing what we've seen and happened. And straight away he got an appointment for the Friday morning, and then he got referred straight around to the Lighthouse Clinic, and he's had his treatments, and
it's
fine. But I've had lots of things like that. I would always say, go to the doctor. You don't be rude. Be firm and just say, right, Zoe's Law. And if they had sent Zoe where she should have gone the first time, to get a mole sent off and tested, it's £195. I got charged £295 by the beauty clinic, but it is £195. So if they'd done that with Zoe 3 years before, five years before, 3 years before, 2 years before, it would cost £195. As it was, it was too late, and they sent her a treatment that cost £78,000.
Yeah, so it would have saved a lot of money in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
not saying this for any, like, in a way of saying it, I've had people contact me saying I can't afford to go private, and I have said, just go, I'll pay it for you.
Yeah.
So know that, but I don't do that for any praise or anything else, because I don't want anyone else's family, like the parents or the children, to go through what, like, we'll say, like Zoe's little boys, because Zoe's wish was, because we didn't know nothing about this. Please try and raise awareness so no one else suffers. And she didn't say, not for herself, she said for my little boys and my mum and, you know, my brother and sister.
Well, bless
you. We're going to miss that. So we said, we will, Zoe, we'll raise awareness for you.
Well, it's fantastic that you do that, and it's lovely you're there for people and have given advice. And just the fact that you're driving forward with Zoe's Law and we kind of get that.
Well, they are going to write up. They're going to write it up. They're going to, they were saying, talking about calling it, would be like Zoe's rule or Zoe's checks. But they all agreed it. Charlie went back on the 30th of October, like a question time with just all the health people about melanoma. They all agreed that, they're going to get it all written up. So that is such
amazing. So there's progress.
Amazing. Oh, yeah,
there's
absolutely
progress.
Amazing.
Oh, that's really good.
And they're talking about how they can implement it into beauty clinics as well, you know, don't just cut it off, get it tested.
There must be ways to send it off, do stuff like that. Thank you so much for, obviously, I know just time flies by whenever we chat, literally. It does so much, and we'll have to get you in again sooner, especially we are here, we'd love to hear more about the progress with Parliament. And, you know, obviously I've been up to Parliament, it's a very interesting place to wander around, so
it's amazing.
It's quite an experience. And the fact that you were there to really, really give a good word about this, and it's actually getting taken seriously, is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, even when we sat out in, like, the waiting room, it's like a calf kind of thing that you sit in, and to see everyone you see on the telly walking past you, and then coming over to talk to you as well, and say, oh, well done. It was just...
Well, credit to you, obviously.
Positive, very positive.
Especially for just being up, motivated, and to really trying to make a difference to other people's futures and lives as well. It's phenomenal.
That's the main thing, about raising awareness so people can get seen and treated.
So one very, very quick last thing. What is Charlie doing next to raise for money? Because he's always doing something.
I can't remember every mountain. He has put in for a world record. He's just applied for a world record to go and climb. I think it's... I can't remember how many mountains it is. I think it's 7 mountains in 7 days.
Wow. Okay.
He's written it all up. He sent it all off to the world record. And he's trying to get that booked in. He's going to be doing this year... No, sorry, 2026... 7 mountains in 7 days.
Well, we'll be sure to keep posted on that one.
And all that's, let's say, it's all to raise awareness for melanoma, and any donations that are given are direct to the hospice.
Oh.
To sort of help the hospice for the fantastic job they do there.
Nice. Well, good one, Charlie. Yeah. And please keep us posted on that and let us know. And we'd love to put a shout out and try and help get people obviously supporting that. And helping spread the word. No problem. Absolute pleasure to have you back in the studio. And we could talk, I swear, for an hour. Oh, we really could.
thank you.
But lovely to have you in. And have a great one. Hope to have you in very, very, very soon.
Thank you.
All the best. No problem at all.
All right. Thank you.